The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Time for the Palestine Report. Hafez Ibrahim Musa joins us on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair for your time this morning. Now, on Friday, the news came through that Sudan had normalized relations with Israel, the third state in recent times, and overall in the grand scheme, the fifth state overall to move in that direction. But the Sudanese normalization, not all that it seems. Tell us more.
Yes, you're correct. That announcement came on Friday in a form of a three or four-way call that was presided over by Donald Trump. It also had the Sudanese civilian and the Sudanese military leaders, as well as Netanyahu as part of that call. And that decision came on the back of an announcement from Sudan that it would transfer a whopping $335 million into an account, and this was reportedly to compensate for the victims of past terror attacks, and this was for their families. That came on the back of that announcement, and thereafter the United States said that Sudan would be removed from the state sponsors of terror list, and Sudan would be helped out to restructure its debt to the international community. And there were announcements thereafter that normalization would occur with Israel. Other agreements between Sudan and Israel would now follow in the fields of agriculture and many other sectors. And another victory for Israel when it comes to using Sudanese airspace. Now Sudanese airspace is opened up to Israeli aircraft. So that's as far as the official story and the announcement goes. But in terms of the questions of whether this is all that it is, firstly, people are pointing out that this agreement was made under severe duress. Sudan was desperate to come off the state sponsors of terror list for a long period of time. And therefore, it seems as if they just did everything that they needed to do or were forced to do to come off that list, one of those being normalization with Israel. The other issue here is that it's just weeks before the United States elections, and Donald Trump has made it absolutely clear that these kind of deals are for political expediency, political showmanship, and try to boost his chances of winning the upcoming election, where the polls are not showing him doing great. The other question here is whether this is, in actual fact, full normalization. And everybody who's gone into the details of the actual treaty have pointed out that this is not the same as the UAE and Bahrain agreements. There's no full diplomatic relations here between Sudan and Israel. Actually, the Sudanese prime minister reportedly said that what happened today, referring to Friday, was an agreement to normalize and not normalization. And this agreement to normalize still has to be ratified by Sudanese lawmakers. And there appears to be a tension between the Sudanese military leadership, who want to go the route of full normalization, and the civilian leadership, who are not too keen about this. And this bodes not too well for the future. Sudan is a nation in transition, and it strengthens the hands of the military leadership, who have known to be ruthless in the past. And we're also seeing on the streets of Sudan, the predominant sentiment, it appears, is that Sudanese are against the normalization. There's fatwa that has been issued from Sudan itself against the normalization. There's of burning of flags that have occurred, and protests on the streets of Sudan in the wake of this. And conceivably, the response on the other end from the Palestinians has been against this latest move, and a statement from one of the Palestinian political factions saying that they reject this disgraceful agreement that will not bring stability or welfare to Sudan as it is claimed. Rather, they say that it will take Sudan towards more troubles and will lead to more Israeli domination of the nation's people and its potential.
Yes, so various hiccups in that particular line. Now we look at two particular personalities. The one is Iyad Al-Halak, who was gunned down on the 30th of May. The other personality is that of a Palestinian hunger strike, Maher Al-Akhras. What is the updates on these two issues?
So when it comes to Iyad Al-Halak, as you mentioned, Mufti, he was shot in the old city of Jerusalem in May, at the end of May, and he's a Palestinian with special needs. Now, that the legal hearing into his case has been dragging on for several months, and this past week we had the officer who fired those fatal shots. Now it is announced that he will be charged with reckless manslaughter and will face a hearing where he can dispute the charges before his case goes to trial. So some developments there. But the commander who actually presided over this entire action and was present when the killing took place will not be charged. And despite this announcement, the legal team for the officer who will now be charged for reckless manslaughter saying that they still don't see anything too bad about this and it doesn't have to go the legal route. The legal team saying that the killing of Iyad Al-Halak was a tragedy, but shockingly they say it was not a criminal offense. Now from the side of Iyad Al-Halak's family, they have always said that they fear, based on a precedent in the Israeli legal system, that this crime will go unpunished and the officers will be whitewashed. They've also said that there's been a very slow pace to the legal proceedings until now. And they've long slated the Israeli system and this particular hearing for saying that the cameras in that area had not been working, when we know that the old city of Jerusalem is one of the most surveilled areas on the planet. The legal team also for Iyad Al-Halak's family saying that they had hoped for stronger charges. And this is not just reckless manslaughter. This is premeditated murder. And the commander who was present also needs to be charged. As far as the other case, that of Maher Al-Akhras, Maher Al-Akhras, as we know, is a father, Palestinian father of six, was arrested on the 27th of July and has been in a state of administrative detention, which has prompted him to embark on this hunger strike until he is released completely and that administrative detention order is removed once and for all. The development in his case in this week is that despite his physical condition, the Israelis actually sought to move him from the hospital where he's currently held back to a prison hospital and remove any sign of compromise on his administrative detention order. And there were some very painful scenes coming out from the hospital where his family, that includes his parents, his wife, and some of his children, tried to visit their father and were not allowed entry, children crying in the hallways. And, thereafter the family just sat in those hallways and refused to go until they were actually granted entrance and the ability to see their father after a long period of time. Coupled with that, there was a very painful account coming from the lawyer of Maher Al-Akhras saying that he had to, he actually was forced in the wake of these developments to stand up in his very weak condition by Israeli security guards. And because he couldn't stand, they actually let go of him and he fell on his face, incurring yet more injuries. And thereafter, he was unconscious for hours. And in the wake of that, he actually had dictated a will where he says that he wants to die amongst his family, and he refuses any attempts to get treatment from the Israelis, and also that no autopsy should be carried out on his body. And part of that will was that my will is dedicated to my people and is to protect the homeland. So many solidarity actions in Palestine, outside the hospital, inside the hospital, as well as abroad. We've also got the UN Rapporteur for Human Rights, Michael Link, saying that he demands an end to administrative detention completely and the immediate release of Maher al-Ahraz. But on the other hand, the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was actually asked about this case and why he refused to comment on the specifics. His standard response was that Israel has a right to defend itself.
Yes, it all comes back to that. Now, let's look at the development in terms of clover boycotts gaining momentum.
Yes, it seems to have gained momentum now in the wake of a workers' strike at Clover. The General Industries Workers Union, which is called Kiwusa, striking at the moment for better working conditions and a living wage. And they're also demanding better conditions for temporary workers at Clover. And part of that now is, a more coordinated action. One, asking for improvement of better working conditions, but now coupling it with the demands of the solidarity movement regarding what is occurring at Clover. And this obviously goes back to the fact that Clover has now for many months actually been a Israeli-owned company owned by the Israeli consortium Milco. And activists are coming to the fore now, reminding consumers that Clover is not the old Clover. This is an openly Israeli-owned company. And they've actually gone to stores across South Africa, and they're going to be expanding this campaign. But you've already seen visuals coming from the weekend where the dairy aisles at certain supermarkets were slapped with stickers on clover products, the juices, the milks, etc., whereby they did a play on the clover slogan, which is way better. They called it way worse or way bitter. And some of the accompanying captions said that the company is way worse and more repressive and untransformed. And they are just going to expand this campaign and in solidarity with the workers on the one hand, and even post the strike to now build on a bigger consumer boycott of Clover because of its Israeli links. And together with that, they are also slating the South African government for providing the enabling environment through the Competition Commission for allowing this deal in the first place to go through.
So the voices of concern being raised, certainly that is positive. Jazakumullah khair for the update. Your time, appreciate it. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.